on digital radio, on the app, on your smart speaker, on Twitter, YouTube, Twitch.tv, and Facebook. The Sportscast. Basketball in March.
The Jersey Boys Sports Talk presented by The Sportscast.
The Jersey Boys Sports Talk with Victor Orocho and Byron Jones. And here's your host, Victor Orocho.
Live from Miami, Fort Lauderdale, and Atlantic City, welcome to the Jersey Boys Sports Talk presented by The Sportscast. It's April 18th, 2024. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all our channels, YouTube, Twitch, X, and Apple Podcast. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. We're also on online radio. You can visit our website, thesportscast.net. Also, you can follow us on X at The Sportscast and check out our app, The Sportscast for iOS. This is Santiago Leon here in the Jersey Boys for week two. Our normal host, a regular host, Victor Orocho, he is out on assignment. He'll be back next week for the draft. And we got Byron Jones. Welcome back. And you're not in Lancaster. You're in Atlantic City. How are you?
Oh, wonderful. You know, they had nice weather, you know, here beginning of the week. It was in the 70s, shockingly. And then last couple of days, it's dropped to 50. And now we're at 45 and dropping. And it's raining and it's getting cold.
Oh, big cold. So that's coat weather. That's wetter weather.
It's coat, hoodie, gloves, and whatever else I could put on. Yeah, it was a little cold because we're right by the water. We're like 100 yards off the Atlantic Ocean. So the wind, the breeze coming off of there, yeah, it's a little rough.
And we got Kevin Tyree, who has not appeared for months because he's busy with real estate. How are you?
Doing pretty good. How's everyone doing?
Good.
Let's talk some sports, man.
Kevin, so before we go in, how's the real estate in Miami?
These interest rates, man, and these prices. But, you know, it is what it is.
You know, it's interesting. Kevin, I mean, I know a lot of realtors, and Kevin know this, but Kevin's really, like, authentic, down to earth. He'll tell you right off the bat, look, that house is not worth this much. That's true. It shouldn't be worth this much.
No, really.
Hey, my clients come first, man. Whoever I'm representing, that's the one I'm going to protect.
So you going to be honest?
Oh, yeah. Why not?
Wow. So you're not like a used car salesman. Oh, yeah. Nah. This is
the best time to buy in the history of mankind.
Oh, no.
Well, anyways, in the world of sports, we are 1 week away from the NFL draft. And Byron, you did not have a new mock-up this week. Tell us why.
Because I've been messing around here and got so tied up with what I've been doing around here, I forgot pretty much. So I'll be doing it tomorrow. It'll be out tomorrow when I get back home.
I mean, you can say, look, there's not much changes going on. And
right. I'm going to tell the truth.
Well, anyways, this morning, Joe Shane, the general manager for the New York Giants, had his annual pre-draft press conference with the media and had a few updates on the team's plans. He had the first thing he mentioned was that a lot of teams have increased interest for that number six spot. Giants are at number six for the NFL draft, and which is likely too far down in order to select the quarterback of his choice, too far up in order to take the cornerback of safety they need. Byron, what is he trying to say there? Is it, I mean, yes. I mean, there's some teams looking to move up. They need a quarterback. What are your thoughts about Joe Shane's comments this morning about interest for that number six overall pick?
Well, you figure, all right, it all starts with J.J. McCarthy. I don't think that he's a top three quarterback where he should be picked, you know, one, two, three, or four. And six, you know, would be a good spot, you know, for somebody to move up to. And I'm going to throw out the Minnesota Vikings because they have the 11th and 23rd pick in the first round this year. And if I was the Giants and they did offer that, I would want both those picks. I wouldn't want next year. I would, you know, give me both of these this year and, you know, we're done. But, you know, I would drop that far down maybe for the Giants at 11. You know, that way they could look at something, you know, maybe a cornerback, maybe, you know, one of the second tier wide receivers, you know, edge rusher, you know, probably at 11. And then 23, you know, fill, you know, or maybe another receiver or tight end or whatever they're going to need. But yeah, I would entertain that at 6.
Really? So you'd be open for the Giants to trade that pick? You think it wouldn't hurt them much?
No. I wouldn't go too far. I would still want to stay in the top 15, you know, with my first pick. Because, you know, it's right. A lot of good picks, you know, up to 15. But, yeah, I wouldn't want to go any further than, you know, 11. I wouldn't want to drop that far down.
So to explain the order, number one is Chicago Bears, number two, Washington Commanders, 3, New England Patriots, 4, Arizona Cardinals, 5, Chargers, 6, Giants, 7, Titans, 8, Atlanta, 9, Bears, 10, Jets. We'll go a little bit general here. Kevin, your thoughts on the draft this year? I mean, I know the Dolphins are selected a little bit lower, but what are your thoughts over the draft? I mean, are you excited? Do you see a lot of talent? Like, what have you heard and what you have understood?
Well, I haven't been following it much because, I don't know, I just haven't been, but I know they got a lot of top offensive players coming out, the wide receivers, and they say this might be the first draft where they have more offensive players go than defensive players. So, you know, you got a lot of good players coming out. Marvin Harrison Jr., a lot of cornerbacks, a lot of offensive guys coming out, you know. So that's just going to speed up the game. And I think it'll work out for everybody, you know?
Yeah, it would, which you brought up a good point, and we talked about it in our group, I think, which Kevin is in our chat group, actually, Messenger. The last time, there'll be, I think, projected 19 offensive players in the first round. And the last time that we saw that was in 2009, where we saw Mark Sanchez, and I'm pulling up the list right now. We had Matt Stafford getting selected first, and offensive tackle Jason Smith, Tyson Jackson, Aaron Curry, Mark Sanchez, so on and so on, which I'm going to pull this up right now. But Tyron, you laughed because you remember that draft.
Yeah. Mark Sanchez, the butt fumble guy.
Yeah.
And I think it was a couple of linemen that were taken like 2 and 3. I think Smith, whatever guy's name is.
Yeah, I'm going to pull that up.
A lot of guys that didn't really do anything, you know, in the NFL at all.
Yeah. Man, it's the draft, it's like, it's a crapshoot, man. You really can't know. You're not going to know what these guys are all about until like five years from now, you know what I mean? Injuries, you know, things of that nature, guys getting in trouble, all kind of stuff, you know?
Kevin, guess who I saw yesterday? I was at a tech conference yesterday, and I saw legendary Dan Marino.
No.
Yeah. He was selected first, wasn't he?
Dan the man.
Was he selected first?
First round? No.
He was in the 20s.
No, yeah, he dropped down to the Dolphins. Yeah, he wasn't. Remember, I don't think in college he was a good quarterback, but he wasn't like,
you wasn't know, great like, grade,
like Heisman rope trophy type of stuff. You know,
if you guys have a phone, please put it on silent. Yeah. So he actually talked about a little bit about the draft yesterday. Actually, he said that typically the all-star quarterbacks from college don't really win Super Bowls.
Nope.
Really don't succeed as much.
That's a hard position.
And usually, like the best quarterbacks come from lower mid rounds. I mean, would you agree with them?
Yeah, definitely. That's not too many. What top of my head, who came out that was all of that and became all of that? And my first person to come to mind is Peyton Manning.
Elway, Andrew Luck. Well, Patrick Mahomes, of course. Alex Smith had a good career. Even though, you know, he was injured, you know, he wasn't, you know, he was the first player pick, you know, the year he came out. He wasn't that bad, you know, at all coming out.
Yeah.
Who else?
Not that many.
It's not Baker many. Mayfield? Was Baker,
he pick number one? He's been bouncing around. He was number one overall, but no way.
And the other guy, the Browns picked, Jason. Watson. Yeah, Deshaun Watson, yeah. I mean, that's still TBD, or that's pretty much what you see?
He derailed his own thing.
And they're sticking with it. Well, they have to because of the contractual. There's it's hard.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Nobody will touch that with a 50-foot pole.
And, okay, so looking back at this 2009 draft board, Hakeem Nicks selected by the Giants. Whatever happened to him, Byron?
He got a Super Bowl. You know, he sort of just faded away toward the end. But, you know, he had a great career. You know, he had a couple, you know, 1,000-yard seasons with them. So, you know, he was worth that pick. You know, was it the 20s, you know, 20-something?
29.
Yeah, he was 29 pick. You know, so, you know, he worked out fine. And, you know, he was a great player for them for a while.
He took that year. Vontae Davis. Oh, God rest his soul.
I can't find the Dolphins. Oh, there it is. Vontae Davis, number 25. How did he do?
He did pretty good for us. He was decent, but he wasn't, you know, like that, you know. Yeah.
Yeah.
He just passed away two weeks ago. So.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Yeah.
That's
R.I.P.
Yeah.
And there was another player that passed away today, right, Byron? He was from Albany State, I think.
Right.
No, I didn't hear about that.
Albany, 25-year-old. No, 25-year-old guy. He was a week before the draft.
Yeah, a week before the draft. I think he was – I mean, I'm not sure what round he was being projected to be drafted, right. But he got passed away this morning, so pretty sad.
Percy Harvin. I remember him.
Well,
yeah.
The good thing about this draft is you got two Jersey guys on it. You got Malcolm Jenkins is from Jersey, from Scataway, and Brian Cushing is from like Don Bosco, one of those schools up north. So it was two Jersey guys drafted first round that year.
No, not Sean Morano, yeah, Brian.
Not Malcolm Jenkins was good.
Cushing,
the Saints,
long time. The
Saints and was decent.
I don't think I mean like you know from this list, I only recognize Matt Stafford still playing.
Well, you remember? Well, that's it. Yeah.
That's it.
Let me see. Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah.
Who is Tyson Jackson, number 3 overall for Kansas City? Never heard of this guy.
How about you, Byron?
Defensive end. I think he was a defensive end. He wasn't very good. Didn't last long. Yeah, but it's a whole bunch of them. Like Curry, but Aaron Curry was with Seattle. He was awful. I think he had like 2 picks. Hayward Bay, the Raiders picked him, you know, because I think he ran like a 4.2 40 or whatever he ran.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's a lot. Brian Arapo, yeah, he was all right for a minute, but he came from Penn State.
Okay. Yeah, Crabtree. Michael Crabtree is still in the league.
He's good. He's very good.
Yeah. Brian Cushing was good. He was all pro a couple times. A lot of these guys.
Brian Cushing was pretty decent also.
Yeah.
But going back to memory lane here. I like that. You guys know
what we're doing, right? Michael Orr.
Michael Orr was good, right?
Percy Harvin was a good one for the Seattle.
Oh, yeah. He was all Minnesota, right?
He was decent.
Minnesota, too.
He was decent. Clay Matthews.
Clay Matthews, classic.
Decent. Alex Max was a good good center for a long time.
Wow. Yeah. Well,
it's a hit and miss, man. It's a hit and miss.
It's hit or miss. Just like Kevin said, we don't know what's going to happen. It's a risk. You can only look what you can see from the season, college season, or from the pro days or the NFL combine. So hopefully the right pick, but it's a risk. Another thing that Joe Shane, general manager of the New York Giants, said that if he would keep the current quarterbacks today, Daniel Jones, Drew Locke, and Dan DeVito, he said that it's all possible. It's because they all have like playing experience, I believe that's what he said. Byron, do you buy that? I mean, Jones has a bad neck, as Victor always says. Drew Locke has some experience, played for the Broncos in Seattle. DeVito trying to survive, but what are your thoughts over his comments about, hey, I'm comfortable with these three quarterbacks.
Let's see. He's the general manager of the team. I guess he doesn't want to bash what he already has, you know, on the the roster right now, because I'm pretty sure in the later rounds they're going to pick either a project quarterback or something. This draft, they're gonna draft another quarterback. That's just the way it is.
Who was that mobile quarterback you were talking about last week or something?
I don't want everybody to know about him. Joe Milton from Tennessee. Big, giant, like 6'4", 6'5", can throw 70 yards and can run.
Oh, let me call Chris Greer.
I want to keep Joe Milton. I want to keep him a secret, you know, that, you know, he doesn't, you know, somebody else don't pick this guy up. But, yeah, he, you know, he looks good. You know, he just needs to be, he's going to be a project. You know, they need to work with him. And, you know, maybe the Giants, you know, might sneak him in there or something. But, you know, that's my undercover sleeper guy that, you know, I want them to pick up.
You think he's first round worthy, though?
No. He's like a second day or third day pick. Yeah,
he's not a project. But those are the guys who, those lower round guys, like third, fourth, fifth, that type of stuff. Those are the guys who hungry, and those are the guys who do the best in the NFL.
Yeah, there's a quote from the old Bills general manager back in the 90s, 80s, or maybe also the 2000s. He said, yeah, like, usually the ones that win the Super Bowl are the role players you pick in the later rounds.
Yeah, those guys are hungry, man.
Bill something.
Bill Polian,
famous quote.
Yeah.
Which is true. So Shane said he's comfortable with going into the season with the three quarterbacks they currently have. He said, I think with Drew Locke's experience, he has started games and played, and Jones' experience, and DeVito did last year, another year in the system. Tommy's come a long way.
Yeah.
Wow.
That sounds like save face statements.
Is that a poker face statement?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, definitely.
He's going to draft a quarterback.
Yeah, gave him all that money, man. Gave him all that money. Got to.
But the crazy part of it. The crazy thing up here, you know, I look at the Giant sites and all this stuff. They be killing Daniel Jones. I mean, they want him cut, like, not now, but like
today.
Right now. And all they want is the $47 million, salary cap that they're going to have, you know, with him being on the team next year. And that's all they complain about. Oh, you know, we need to cut him. You know, we need to do this. We need to do that. And then if you look, you know, I don't want to go too far, but if you look at the quarterbacks coming out next year, they're nowhere near as good as the ones that are coming out this year.
It's a very low pool. It's a very small pool of quarterbacks next year. Speaking about Jones, he did say this week, I think on Monday, that he expects to be clear for training camp. He even believes there's a realistic chance that he's able to do some drills with his teammates later this spring. So he suffered an ACL in his right knee. And it says it's all possible because so far the rehab has gone relatively smoothly. Hiram, do you think he could come back by training camp?
ACL, this is going to be his problem. You figure if he comes back, he's not going to have any contact, you know, during the preseason games. They're not going to throw him out there. So pretty much the Giants are going to be in the same boat. You know, if he doesn't play any, preseason game to get some live bullets, you know, thrown at him in practice, see if, you know, practice or the game to see if the knee is going to hold up. And then they put him out there the first game of the season. It'd be the same thing they have last year where it was 40-0. And, you know, he threw, you know, two interceptions for pick six or whatever happened. So I don't think he's going to be ready to play the first game of the season.
And what, he got injured what month? Was it November of last season?
Well, like the sixth game. So probably like October.
Yeah.
October.
Yeah, it was kind of early.
Yeah, what do you think, Kevin? That's a year
recovery injury, and you're not really right that year. I've never seen too many players come back from an ACL and they're right that first year. Year after that, then they're back to what they were. I agree with Byron. They won't play. They can't play him. They can't play him in the preseason. And them dogs be coming because everybody's fresh that first game of the season. Oh, my gosh. Some dogs gonna be coming.
Yeah, no, I mean, but preseason
Dallas.
They played Dallas
first preseason game.
The Cowboys. Actually, the first game was 40-0 when they played Dallas.
Last year. Okay,
I remember that game. That was a red flag.
Oh, it was brutal.
And then you guys barely beat Arizona, and they like the week after.
It was pretty bad.
Interesting. Yeah, the procedures these days, I heard they're really good. Seeing what happened to Aaron Rodgers, he could have came back early January, perhaps.
What? I don't think he was going back out there.
He's a showboat. He just talked.
By the way, the Jets got new uniforms.
What?
Okay.
They're okay. You know, like the green still sticks out. So.
Yeah. What, Kelly Green or whatever color it is.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. He says he could do it. So we'll see what happens. But Drew Locke, I don't know. We haven't talked about Drew Locke, guys. I mean, what if he shines?
Yeah, he ain't gonna shine.
I don't think so.
That's the reason why, man. He was second string quarterback with Denver, and where'd he come from? Seattle. Why people got Denver, so all this, he's gonna learn our system. If he was that good, he would stay where he was. But
it's true.
Career backup. Put a
reason behind him or something. Yeah.
Career backup, but if I had a chance, I wouldn't mind being a career backup. Money they make.
Oh my gosh. Remember the Dolphins? Was it Michael Moore is his last name?
Oh, he was pretty good though. Number 8.
He was there for a while.
He's pretty good though. Now he was pretty good. Tannehill got hurt and he still took him to the playoffs,
Yeah.
He was pretty pretty decent, But career backup is a pretty good position. You don't most likely you're not gonna play. You might play one or two games a season. So you can do that for 15, 16 years.
Matt Moore, that's his name.
Matt Moore, yeah, Matt.
I think he was with the Chiefs last season. Now he's with the Cowboys now.
Mm-hmm.
Double check. He's 39 years old, so
averaging more than the WNBA players.
Which, by the way, Caitlin Clark is expected to get an 8-figure deal with Nike.
Yeah, she still is not $70,000 a year. Come on,
Salary for the end of Fever is $75,000. That's it. A year. $75,000.
That's all?
That's it.
I couldn't believe it. My buddy told me about it. I was like, no way. He's like, yeah. 75. What? No, man.
She can come up here and be a cop in New Jersey for that kind of money.
Yeah.
But the 8-figure deal from Nike, that's pretty like Tiger Woods level.
Yeah. The NBA players getting $100 million.
Yeah. Saw them, yeah.
They're getting $100 million. Plus that, plus $30 million a year. And come on, man.
But I think this is the golden generation for this class. I think the class coming in, her and the LSU girl, and I think the girl from UCLA.
Reese.
This is a good generation.
They're going to take it to another level. I think.
Yeah. I think so too.
Yeah, I think they're going to take it to another level. So
how are you, Hiron? Were you able to see the WNBA draft?
I've watched them when they played, college and everything, and they're a bunch of them. They're, the young lady from, South Carolina. I didn't realize she was that big, tall. The one from UConn, Paige Buckers, I've been watching her for years. She's another great one. People forgot about, but she didn't come out this year. Angel Reese, of course, LSU, and Caitlin, at Iowa. So yeah, it was a bunch of them, that right there. I hope they make all the money they can make.
Definitely.
They should have not taken. I mean, she should have taken the 3-on-3 from Ice Cube, $5 million.
Yeah, I thought that was a low ball, but I didn't realize she was making that much. So that was if she was chasing the money, that would have been a good deal for her.
That would have.
But if she plays with them, are they going to use a woman sized ball or the regular sized ball?
Good question.
Mm-hmm.
Or does the 3-on-3 have like a special size ball? We don't know.
Yeah.
I haven't watched it.
I did watch last week. This other football league, I can't remember what the name is.
UFL?
Yeah, but they be balling, man.
They're good. Have you seen balling. The kickoff?
Huh?
Have you seen the kickoff?
Yeah, the 20-yard line. That's the new rule, right?
Yeah, that's going to be implemented in the NFL. And I don't know if – I mean, I'm not sure if it's going to be good. I heard it's going to be like less injuries. But it's interesting how NFL made that move.
Yeah. No, them guys be balling, man.
Because they get time, people, you know, when you're running down there on the kickoff, which I've done a couple times, it sucks running down there covering the kick. But what's worse than a kickoff is punt. You know, when you're running down, punt return. And, you know, I was like the end guy on our defense, and I would have to, you know, I'd run up and make sure they, you know, punt the ball. But then I would always peel back, and I would light up somebody because you're not looking. So, you know, they might look to, you know, get rid of that too. But it was a whole bunch of times where I would peel back and I'd sit there and see this poor guy, you know, he running downfield, he ain't looking, you know, like, and I would light him up like a Christmas tree all the time.
And they did get rid of the blindside hits.
But now they have, but back in the day.
Back in the day, no.
Tear somebody up.
Just can't hit them low, but you can catch them in the chest and
take them off. And now, now you can't do the hip hit, right, Byron?
The hip prop?
Yeah,
hip tackle.
That's a terrible. That's a terrible tackle, man. I hate that tackle. Man. People get rolled up all the time.
Horse collar. That they got rid of that. You can't do
terrible.
That.
That's a terrible tackle. They should have outlawed that. Yeah.
Marino actually talked about yesterday that he said that a lot of these quarterbacks they play longer in their career because they have more rules protecting the quarterback now, versus back in his day, he got hit a lot.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Well, then the receivers. The receivers don't get mauled the way they used to with the Mel Blunts and the George Atkinsons from back in the day. They would get mauled before they even got off the side, you know, before, off the line of scrimmage. And now, you know, they got pretty much a kind of sort of a free run. You know, once they get past the corner, they're gone. You know.
Let me ask you this, guys. Do you think they hit harder back then than now?
Yes.
For both. Oh,
yeah. Yes, yeah. Now.
Now or like back then they hit more.
I mean, now they hit harder.
Like I mean, like hit harder.
I think now because these guys are bigger, faster, and stronger now than what they were.
They're bringing more.
Interesting. I've been hearing this debate for a while. A lot of the old guys told me back then they hit harder. Now I'm hearing now they hit harder. So you can't really tell.
Yeah, but you're getting these linebackers now that are running 4.3, 4.4 40s. I'm pretty sure a bunch of them back in my day that weren't running 4.4 and 4.5 the way these guys. These guys are like sprinters coming around the corner. And you figure you got
these huge guys too.
Yeah, you got a 4.3 and he's 240 or 250 or 260 coming around the corner. It's gonna be ugly.
They'll run like 5.2, baby.
Well, I wasn't that slow. I'm slow, but I wasn't.
I'm not talking about you. I'm just saying. Like Singletary was instincts.
Let me ask you the sister question. Was Walter Payton the greatest running back of all time?
Yes.
Kevin?
I'm gonna have to agree with that. He would run you over. He'd run outside, inside.
And he played on bad teams. He played on bad teams his whole career, except for, you know, when they went to the Super Bowl and screwed him over and didn't let him, you know, score a touchdown.
But I've heard people talk about that play a lot. Like they didn't let him run.
No, because they had the fridge back there, and they gave, you know, when they got to the goal line, they handed the ball to the fridge instead of, you know, bringing him back into the game because the game was over. But to bring him back in. To let him score a touchdown, you know, in the Super Bowl. And they, Dick could screw that up by having William Perry score a touchdown.
Refrigerator Perry. Interesting. Yeah. But that reminds me of like the Marshawn Lynch. They didn't let him for that last play, Seahawks versus Patriots.
Yeah, that makes my head hurt. First down, you have, he's basically the one that got him all the way down the field. Yeah, you know, they're on the 2 or 3, whatever you were. You know what? I'd have felt a lot better as a teammate that if you know, like, you know what? He got us down here. Give it to him 4 times in a row.
Four times. I'd have gave it to him 4 times.
Yeah, 4 times.
You might stop him 3, but you ain't gonna want none of that after that 4th.
Marshawn Lynch from Oakland, California.
Yeah.
All right. Let's run down this quick Giants news. Hiring, the Giants have not given Darren Waller a deadline.
They should.
They got to find out.
Because, well, they did. They signed two other tight ends. They already had Bellinger and Cager are two. So they have four that are on the roster right now. So he was supposed to be their, basically their number one guy, you know, their number one receiver. But he's always hurt. And now you have, you know, this issue to deal with, that, you know, he's undecided, you know, if he wants to play or not. You know, maybe he just doesn't want to play with the Giants, and he's using this, you know, for them to release him, you know, or, you know, they get out the contract, go someplace else. I don't know. But now it kind of sort of messes them all up, because, you know, are they going to look at another tight end? You know, are they going to fill up the room with tight ends like they did wide receivers last year? Or, you know, are they going to sit back and wait for him, and then he waits till training camp? You know what? I ain't playing this year.
Yeah, the tight end position is becoming more important every year, it feels like. A lot of these teams are putting a lot of emphasis on tight ends. Slayton is having communication with Doshane. Shane said, we just signed a deal a little over 12 months ago. It was a 2-year deal. Again, I understand where he's coming from based on our conversations, what I meant by that. So he wants more money, right, Slayton?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. We'll see what happens. And then offensive tackle, even Neil is progressing well, Doshane said. Saw him this week and said he looks good in good spirits.
Yeah, they said the same thing last year. Last year he went and worked with, you know, a former All-Pro, you know, right tackle, you know, to fix him as far as the stance and, you know, his get off and all kind of stuff. And, you know, we pretty much saw what happened. You know, he was awful. He got hurt, you know, toward the end of the season. Yeah, I think they found that he had like a chipped a bone or something in his ankle, like season was over almost. And the Evan Neal experiment is getting ready to come to a screeching halt real soon if he doesn't play well this year.
Interesting. He's the one that's always injured, right? Like, everyone talks about him.
Nah, he's not always. He just stinks. You know, he's 6'7", 335 pounds. I thought the kid was, you know, he played at Alabama. I thought he was going to come in and, you know, be like a gangbuster, you know, play right tackle, you know, and they're set at right and left tackle, you know, for the next 10 years. But he's been so bad. Just, he can't get out of his stance quick enough. Everybody runs around him. He's just been just bad. And, you know, they signed the right tackle from, you know, the Raiders, you know, and a left guard from Green Bay, Runyon, John Runyon's son that used to play for the Eagles. And so he's got competition this year. So, you know, if he doesn't, you know, put up, you know, I could see them, you know, trading him or whatever, but he's no good. No good. No good.
All right. Shane also said about the draft. This is our, like, we're trying to figure out what like the New York Giants are going to do. We don't know if they're going to trade down, get more stuff with that, or they're going to, you know, pick that number six spot. But that's what he says. Shane said, I think everybody is assuming who's going to number one. We can all agree that's probably going to happen. It's going to be Caleb Williams. And then draft starts at two. We'll see what Washington does. Is there at number two or four?
Two.
They're at two. Wow, that's a lot. And there's rumors of teams behind us wanting to come up, and some of the calls we received, we don't know what's going to happen at two. Three, four, five, our people are going to come up behind us. But those are all things we're talking about and going through different scenarios. Byron, what is your final prediction for that sixth pick?
You got to get Daniel Jones some help. You got to pick the, you know, the best available receiver after Marvin Harrison. He might even be equal to Malik Neighbors from LSU. They have to pick him. Have to.
Interesting. All right. Offense. Guys are going to offense. Okay. Perfect. Okay. Let's go to Miami Dolphins, Kevin. They lost some people, but they got some people in. Jordan Poyer, star safety, returns to Miami. Shaq Barrett. Had a 1-year contract for the Dolphins. Jonnu Smith, a tight end with Miami now. Kendall Fuller, he's a versatile cornerback. Got Raheem Mostert coming back for a contract extension. That's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
They got a punter. Don't worry about him. Neville Gallimore, defensive tackle. who joins from the Cowboys. He signed. Davion Nixon, defensive tackle. He's joined Miami from Seattle. Isaiah Mack, defensive tackle, who joins from Baltimore, is a good thing. Other players the Dolphins signed include Jordan Brooks, Anthony Walker, Braxton Berrios, Benito Jones, Ciaran Neal. And the Dolphins are have released Xavier Howard and Zion Crossan and Jerome Baker. Kevin, your thoughts over the Miami Dolphins offseason?
I think they've been active. You know, a lot of these players I have no idea about.
But, I know. But they let go of a lot of players too, though.
Yeah. It looks like they brought, because you know, we were like 40 something million over the cap.
Yeah.
We didn't have any money. And Christian Wilkins, I'm happy for him. I get upset when guys leave, you know, the team. But I'm happy for him because, you know,
he's joined the Raiders.
He went and got that bag.
Yeah, he signed for $110 million deal, 4 years in Las Vegas.
Yeah, he went and got that bag. And then, you know, with that monster they got coming around that edge, Crosby. Oh, my God, I've seen this guy play. I'm like, does this guy ever slow down? Does he get tired? Never comes off the field.
That's good.
That's crazy.
What do you think, Byron, about the Dolphins' moves?
Good moves. You know, they need to shore up the offensive line. They probably need to pick up, they got two good running backs. Probably another edge rusher. They're going to need that. And probably they should focus on defense, but mainly they might have to pick an offensive lineman first.
We lost the offensive lineman. I think we lost Hunt.
I think so too.
Yeah. So, you know, we need to plug a lot, you know, but I think they'll be okay. We'll be okay.
One thing, Kevin, you might be in agreement with us. Actually, most of us in the sports guys have been agreed that Dolphins have not offered Tua a new contract. Rumors about $40 million, I think, for 4 3 years. I can't remember the exact numbers. I mean, it's all rumor, speculative. But a lot of Dolphin fans, I'm not sure what you think, Kevin, they're kind of holding back. They want to see one other season with Tua. Where do you think? You think the Dolphins should have a new contract, or let's just, you know, let him play for another season, see how he does with his health and everything?
Kind of torn in between. I want the guy to get his money, but okay. He has more years. He had a great year last year, but he has more years where he hasn't lived up to what he's supposed to be doing than last year. You know, last year was a decent year, but he still didn't come through in the clutch.
He played every game,
but he didn't come through in the clutch. I mean,
yeah, against like Tennessee or something like that.
Yeah. I mean, that game cost us pretty much, you know,
the season.
Yeah, it did. I mean, instead of playing in below zero weather in Kansas City, we could have been playing at home.
Everyone knew we were going to lose that one. I think, but Victor chose the Dolphins for that game.
Yeah, I don't know what he's thinking of.
I don't know what he's thinking. What do you think about Byron? Do you think Tua should have another year looking at him and see how he does for another?
Did they pick up his fifth year option or?
Yeah. No, not yet.
Not yet.
Okay. No, I think they picked it up. They picked it up last year.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, last year. Okay, my bad.
Yeah, they picked it up last year. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because you figure if they don't like what he does this year, they could turn around and franchise tag him again. Matter of fact, I can think of it twice. So, you know, that's going to save them money, kind of, sort of, because, you know, whatever that number is, you know, for, you know, that the franchise quarterback, you know, is not going to be, you know, $55 million or $60 million or whatever that number is going up to. So I would franchise, you know, hey, you know what, prove it to me again, do it again, and then do it again, and just keep kicking the can down the road.
Yeah. Which Kevin brought up something very interesting. I've not heard this from another Dolphin fan. He's not there for clutch moments. He might be right on that. I thought when Tua played last year, I think he'd rely too much on Tyreek Hill. There's an argument, well, why would you not rely on Tyreek Hill? But he had Jalen Waddle and some other receivers. But Kevin, do you think he lacks that clutch moments?
Well, I think so. If you really think about it, when Tom Brady, it was a minute and 30 seconds left in the fourth quarter. You know, they on the kickoff. They get the ball at the 35-yard line. It's like, y'all in trouble. The other team's in trouble. Do you feel like that about? You feel like that about Patrick Mahomes? If he gets the ball with any amount of seconds left on the clock, any decent amount of seconds on the clock, you pretty much think he's going to win it. I don't feel that way about Tua yet. He's a great quarterback. Trust me, I'm ride or die with my team, but I don't feel that.
Yeah, I don't feel that either. And which, Kevin, you're not the only Dolphin fan that said that. I think majority of them have said it. They're kind of have reservations towards Tua. So we'll see what happens with the extension. But they are committed. I don't think Dolphins are going to draft a quarterback. If they did, it would be just a backup. But
it's hard to find quarterbacks that are as talented as he is, and can run a team like he does. And, you know, his accuracy is, you know, whatever, it's off the chain. But when you're down by two and you need to get them down in field goal range, that's what it's all about.
Kevin, what about Tyreek Hill's having mini camps at his house?
I seen that. I seen that on YouTube last year. I saw it last year. Yeah,
almost cost I think his house. No, not his house got fired. Well, he got fired, but different, whole different occasion. Right. I think a woman was trying to sue him or something.
Oh yeah, she got hurt. She was on the sidelines or whatever. She got hurt and whatever. Yeah,
I hope.
I think they threw it out.
Anyways, we'll see what happens. Tyreek Hill's a character. But we'll see. Anyways, news this week, Byron. The New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft cautioned owners of the Atlanta Falcons, Arthur Blank, that hiring Bill Belichick in January, sources told that it will be warn him that not to trust Bill, a source close to Belichick, who was the coach of the Patriots, got to let go. Looks like Atlanta was all in until that phone call from Kraft, apparently, and then they went with Raheem Morris. Byron, do you believe this story?
Yeah. Now, my thing is, why, you know, every time Robert Kraft, you know, goes into his, you know, building and he's walking through the lobby and he sees those six trophies there, you know, it's a reason why that they're sitting, you know, I understand, you know, it worked hand, you know, Brady and Belichick, you know, it works hand in hand. But, you know, to turn around, usually, you know, if you get fired from a job or whatever, they're calling up for, you know, recommendation. You're not going to badmouth the guy. Yeah, you know, I haven't done it. You know, when I was working in, you know, law enforcement, you know, people call, all right, you know, yeah, you're good worker, whatever, and you'll be done with it. But, you know, to, you know, for another owner to get on there and, you know, bash him like that, you know, say some of the things allegedly, you know, that he said about him, you know, that's not good. That's not cool at all.
Kevin, which actually I was reading that Belichick and Kraft left in bad terms. So it was kind of not like hugs and kisses or anything like that. But Kevin, we're in the same division as the Patriots. Do you believe the story?
Yeah, it's just like I said earlier. Success, you know, a lot of that stuff is squashed with success, but you got three huge egos. Come on, man. Belichick, Brady, and Kraft. And it worked because they were winning Super Bowls. I mean, I read a stat. And I don't know how accurate I am, but it's crazy. And Brady's 20 years, I think he went to the Super Bowl 10 of them. That's crazy.
It's crazy, isn't it?
That is insane.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So, yeah, pretty much Bill Belichick has no job still. Not sure because it's Kraft's fault. But he says, mm-hmm. I mean, what I've heard that Belichick still wants to coach. He's going to wait till next season. I did hear he's interested with the Giants if that position opens up. And the Cowboys, and I think Cleveland's the other one.
No, he ain't the Cowboys. No, them two ain't no way. Those two egos can coexist.
But nope. In the meantime, he is rumored, and I think it's almost a done deal that he's gonna work with Omaha Productions and with the Peyton brothers, Peyton Manning. Sorry, the Manning brothers. Yeah. Eli Manning and Peyton Manning in Omaha Productions. I think he'll be part of the Monday Night Football gang, I think, or maybe do some documentaries.
Are they paying $50 million a year, most likely.
That's crazy. Most likely. That,
crazy.
That's retirement money, right, Byron?
Yeah, I think he's going to be good at it. because he's a student of the game, that guy. You know, you can say what you want about Belichick. He really is a student of the game. And, you know, he's going to bring a different, you know, aspect, you know, to whatever broadcast or documentary or whatever they have him doing. Because he's a smart guy. And, you know, he loves football. He's been around, 50 years. So I think, he can do a good job doing that.
Football nerd. He would go to the film room and just watch film day and night. And this guy, he could teach football in college, pretty much. Trivia. Did Bill Belichick win a Super Bowl with the Giants?
No.
Two.
He won two. Wow.
Yeah, 86.
Right. You know, who was that? Parcells, right? No, who was that?
Parcells was there.
Parcells.
Oh, yeah. That's when they had LT?
Yep.
LT and Carson and all them, man, that was
a good team, right, Kevin?
That was a monster defense, man. Monster defense.
all they had to do was make sure LT showed up to the game and they were good.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they was he the one that had a golf cart in the training camp?
Yeah.
He drove it.
Yeah.
They had his handlers. The handlers.
They made sure he got to practice.
Right, so you got it. There you came in at a decent 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah, there was a 30 for 30. I'm not sure if you guys watched. It was Bill and Bill, I think it was called. It was about Bill Belichick and Bill Parcells.
Yep.
So. And then I was reading that Parcells told Kraft, don't hire Belichick. I think I read that somewhere. But.
Yeah, but with the Giants, he would have got the Giants job when Parcells left, the second time. Because George Young hated Bill Belichick. That's why he left and took the job in Cleveland, because he wasn't getting the Giant job, because the general manager time did not like him at all.
And you know who else was in the Browns with Belichick?
Nick Saban?
Nick Saban.
Yeah.
And they couldn't turn that team around.
We'll mention that name.
Nick Saban got a good deal with College Game Day, I think, too.
Man, these cats, man. Come on, man. They gave Brady like $37 million?
I think so. He actually moved to Jacksonville.
Yeah, it's crazy, man.
I mean, I don't think he needs that money.
Oh, of course not.
I think his grandkids will probably touch it.
And their kids. If they don't, mess it up.
Generational wealth.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
What is it?
Well, there you have it, Bill Belichick. More NFL news. Before we get into the NBA, real quick, J.K. Hobbins, former running back of the Ravens, is going to the Chargers. Is that good or bad, Byron?
Who said who? J.K. on the chat.
Well, where? On the chat? No, I don't
see. No, somebody said who on the chat? Like J.K. Dobbins. Who?
J.K. Which he was drafted when, 2020?
Yeah, he hasn't been in the league that long at all. But yeah, he's a good back. You know, he's an in-between the tackles, kind of running back. You know, I think he's going to fit, pretty good with that guy that's going to run the ball a lot down there with Harbaugh and, Herbert, quarterback. So he's going to get some touches. And yeah, that's a good pickup for me. I'm sure that probably didn't cost him a lot of money too.
Right. Yeah, because Chargers lost running back Austin Eckler to the Commanders, so they needed to fill that hole for Herbert, Harbaugh, and their offensive coordinator Greg Roman. So we'll see. And then Gus, they also signed Gus Edwards.
That's a good signing too.
It's a good signing. I like Gus Edwards.
Too good.
That's going to be a good team. Yep, and then their offensive coordinator, Greg Roman, is a very run-heavy guy, so we'll see how it goes. All right, let's go on to basketball. Yesterday, the Miami Heat lost against the Philadelphia 76ers. Embiid had an okay game, I think, but Butler got injured in the first quarter. He sprained his right MCL. The Heat said that he'll be out for multiple weeks. That's a very general term. Kevin, what do you think? This is not good for the Heat.
Man, unfortunate injury.
Jimmy Butler.
I'm in mourning. No, I'm just kidding.
You're in mourning?
No, they just got it. They just got to, you know, play their game, get past Chicago, and then see what happens, you know.
Play Boston. That's
yeah, see what happens, you know. Injury here, injury there. They could be, you know, sidetracked or whatever.
What do you think about that rookie Jocks? He had a lot of playing time yesterday.
Oh, Hakeem? Yeah, he's going to be something else.
He's good, isn't he?
Yeah, he's a big dude, too, like 6'7".
Huge. Yeah.
He's a big guy.
So we'll see what happens with the Heat. They play Chicago this Friday for the play-in. Hiron, you're not a 76ers fan, but you live near it. Is there hype with this team, or?
Yeah, you know, their thinking is as long as, you know, Embiid doesn't get hurt and Maxey, you know, does his thing, that they're thinking they can go pretty far, you know, with Embiid, because, you know, playing, you know, he doesn't have a lot of mileage on it right now because he didn't play for weeks. So, yeah, so their thinking right here is that they can go pretty far.
We'll see. They play the New York Knicks, which I think, Kevin, they're a beatable team.
Yeah, the Knicks? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No doubt.
If the Heat would have played him, I know he would have won it and, would have won that series.
Yeah. The Knicks are – yeah, they fell into that second seed because of – I believe that if Embiid wouldn't have got hurt, they would have been a much higher seed, you know.
Yeah.
But, I don't know if you – Byron, I don't know if you watched the game last night, but he's not right. Something's not right with that knee. I mean, he was laboring all night. Hmm. So he's not – and it's not going to get any better with him playing, you know, every other night or whatever they do in the NBA playoffs. So, well, anyway, if they go where he goes, basically.
True.
Yeah. Yeah, I know the 76ers head coach, Nick Nurse, was limiting his minutes. I think it worked out well. So we'll see what happens. But, yeah, that knee, it doesn't get any better. You get a lot of rest and limit your minutes. So we'll see what happens with the Sixers. They play New York this weekend. So we'll see what happens. First, I think it's the first athlete getting banned from the sport. Toronto Raptors, Jontay Porter, got banned for life from the NBA for gambling. This has been an issue for a bit. We've seen, you know, Calvin Ridley getting suspended for, like, what, 8 games, Byron? But this guy gets suspended, no, banned for life. I'm not sure if he's allowed in an NBA arena.
Probably not.
You guys' thoughts?
How dumb can you be? I guess he was betting on his team or whatever he was doing. It doesn't make any sense. Where I think they said he made like $22,000 in, you know, gambling bets, and he's making almost $3 million. So
that's a lot of money.
Why you would do that is beyond me. Yeah, I don't even know if the guy can he go overseas to play? You know, now, you know, can he go, you know? You know, a lot of those people go to Europe, or they go to South America, or they go to Chinese, or any of those leagues go over there to play now, because he's banned for life in the NFL, but the NBA.
That's a good point, Byron, because he could play overseas in Europe, or he could play China or Australia. I mean, I'm sure those teams will take him. You know, he's an NBA league player. But Kevin, what do you think about the story?
I don't get it, man. Like Byron said, you're making $3 million and you're gonna get banned for a $22,000 bet. That's gonna ride you the rest of your life, man. This is an opportunity that not even 1% of the 1% of that percent gets a chance to play in the NBA in the league, and you're gonna blow it. I just don't get it, man. What are you thinking about?
Actually, guys, he made more money. He placed in $80,000. The dollar parlay bet, and he won $1 million.
He won that much?
Yes.
Yeah, but he's still it doesn't make sense. It really doesn't.
You make $3 million a year. You're in the league for multiple years. You're gonna make a whole lot more money than that, you know? It's crazy, man.
Crazy. So he and this happened recently, like the March 20th game. Apparently, he underperformed.
Yeah, but
he plays his bet against himself and his team.
What?
Dummy.
Wow. Well, I didn't hear about this player until this week, so I didn't know much about him. Did you hear anything about him before, Kevin, or did you?
No, I didn't know who he is. I still don't know who he is.
Yeah, I don't know who he is. So maybe he thought he was going to get cut and eventually. I don't know. So anyways, banned for life. There's been some NFL players getting banned. I know, well, not banned, but they got suspended. Ridley got suspended for, what, 8 games, right, Byron?
Yeah, and there was a couple other ones, too, that got suspended. I think the Eagles, I just signed one of those guys that from the Colts. I think it was the Colts did the same thing. And it doesn't make any sense. It really doesn't. That, you know, these guys have the opportunity to make, you know, all the money that they're going to make. And they want to go mess around and bet, you know, bet on themselves. They want to bet on the other team. And I understand that you got gambling stuff that's popping up all over the country, but no.
Yeah, and
do something, it's for a reason.
And who knows if they're doing third party. Like, hey, they have a friend or a brother that do their bets for them. We know.
Because, okay, you're supposed to be my friend or my brother or whatever. And, you know, you know it's against, you know, the rules, but you're going to do it for him anyway.
Yeah. And this will send out some alarms for a lot of other leagues, NFL players, say, maybe we shouldn't do this. No. And, you know, get banned. So before we go, I saw an interesting story. Jason Kelce, who won a Super Bowl with the Philadelphia Eagles a couple years ago, he lost his Super Bowl ring in a pool of chili. He can't find a Super Bowl ring, Kevin.
Oh, man. I saw that today.
He didn't make that
up. No, he didn't make it up. He lost in this bowl of chili they were looking for. They can't find it still. Apparently, he claimed he's trying to get a claim from an insurance company, so he might get his money or whatever back. But yeah, this is so sad, so bad.
He's a wild boy, anyway.
My question is, why would you have it on, knowing that you get ready to stick your hand in chili or whatever they would?
He had it like in his sock, so he went stepped into the bowl of chili, and into like the pool of chili.
Those rings are big.
Get a strainer. Strain it out.
That's a lot of chili to be straining.
Is that, he talking about a real pool? Big
yeah,
pool?
Like this. It's it's like a personal pool of chili. It's not like a whole personal, but yeah, it's like a small one, like a little kiddie pool, I guess you can say.
Okay.
I think it's so if anybody went in behind him, somebody else got that ring. That ring didn't, you know, throw in the garbage or whatever. Somebody's got that ring somewhere.
It's going to be in a random pawn shop somewhere.
Yeah, well, that probably wouldn't be a good idea. He's probably going to have to hold on to it for about 5-10 years and then try to...
By the way, I forgot to tell it. Allen Iverson got a statue at the 76ers training grounds.
You should see the size of the trophy. That ain't that
big. He was doing a crossover. That's why it was small.
He did a crossover versus Michael Jordan. I remember that play.
Yeah, he was leaning.
In his prime. Well, guys, we're towards the end of the show. Any closing words before we head into contact information?
Enjoy the NBA playoffs. It's going to be a nice ride.
Yeah, it's going to be good. Oh, let's do predictions then. All right. Okay, so you have Chicago, Miami, Kevin. Who's going to win that game?
Oh, I'm going with Miami.
Okay. Mr. Byron?
I'm going to be opposite like I always do. Chicago.
Sacramento at New Orleans. Kevin?
Sacramento. Zion's hurt.
Okay, Sacramento for Kevin. Byron?
I'm going to go the opposite again. New Orleans.
Isn't the Zion not playing? Yeah, he's not playing this weekend.
They can't do it.
This week. All right, so playoffs, which these teams are already set. Orlando, Cleveland. Who takes that series, Kevin?
I'm going with Cleveland.
I got to go opposite again. I'm acting like Victor's around. The opposite team.
Byron. You know, he hates that, but oh well.
I know. He
can
stand it.
Let him go first this time.
All right. Byron, Phoenix, Minnesota. Who takes that series?
Phoenix.
All right. Phoenix. And you, Kevin?
I'm going to go with Minnesota.
Okay. Doing the opposite. Okay. That is a topsy-turvy series, though. Like,
Minnesota got a better team. Yeah.
Oh, those teams could win. But Phoenix has Kevin Durant.
is
they got the boy Edwards, you know. I think the big cat will be back.
The big cat,
yeah, he's coming back for the playoffs for sure.
Which I played against his father in high school.
Oh, you did? Yeah. Was his dad good too?
Yes. His dad's about 6'8". Yeah, he was really good.
Oh wow, he can glide.
Oh yeah.
All right. It's New York, Philadelphia, Byron.
So I'm hating Philadelphia. I'm going New York.
New York Knicks. Kevin.
I'm gonna go with New York also.
Brunson, and then LeBron James versus Jokic, LA series, LA versus Denver. Kevin,
not a chance. Denver.
Byron's going for LeBron.
No way.
Denver. I know better.
Anthony Davis. Well, there you have it. NBA playoffs, NFL draft in the week. Kevin, will you be doing the whole food spread, watching the draft?
I might go out there though. You know, they usually send. So some of the season ticket holder, they usually send us, let us come out to the draft or whatever.
So I might what, here or are you going to Detroit?
No, at the stadium.
Oh, at the stadium. Okay.
Yeah. If they don't have the F1, they have it. Is this week, F1?
I don't know. They might. You're right.
I've seen that, you know, they're setting up. They got the bleachers and everything set up
around. Yeah, they're in season. F1 is. So right. They might come to Miami. How about you, Byron? You'll be here with us during the show. So, you know.
Here and I'll be stuffing my face while we're doing whatever we're doing.
I don't know. It's interesting because there's a lot of quarterbacks. So we'll see three quarterbacks getting picked, like the first three slots, you think?
Yes.
You don't think Marvin Harrison's going in?
He's gonna be number 4 to Arizona.
You think?
Yep. Oof,
that's so you got the guy from, of course, USC. The guy from Washington. Who's the other guy?
He's
going to
go later.
Odunu? Bo Nix.
Wide receiver? Yeah.
He's a good quarterback, time management quarterback.
Who, Bo Nix?
I heard.
I think Bo Nix is going to be like that guy from the Jets. What's his name?
Zach Wilson?
Yeah, I think he's going to be a
– Interesting. Yeah,
I don't think he has it. He has what it takes to be a
– Well, there you have it. Jersey Boy Sports Talk. Victor is back next week for the draft. He is on Hyman this week and also the week before, so he'll be back next week. Looking forward to Victor is storing up. He's probably been thinking about what to say next week, and we'll be live tweeting the draft. I'll be in Twitter drafting, breaking news, what's going on. I'll probably be on the show as well. So we'll be talking about the draft and see what they're limiting the people there, like they're inviting for the draft. Like I think like 13 players got invited to go to Detroit. Not much.
A lot of people want to go to Detroit.
Yeah, Detroit's an interesting city. And the next year we'll be in Green Bay. So that's gonna be hard to get to.
My family members will be all up their draft party because they all live in Detroit. So they got a big party going on next week.
So it's probably gonna be cold.
Yeah, it's a little chilly up there.
Yeah. Anyways, you can reach us at thesportscast.net, our website, or thesportscast1 on X and Instagram. We'll be live tweeting throughout the weekend. NBA play-in tournament finishes this Friday, then the playoffs, and NFL draft. NFL draft will have ratings more than NBA. If there's an NBA game that night, NFL draft will have more. I know that.
Yeah.
Kevin, thanks for coming on. Byron, thanks for coming on. Any closing words?
Thanks for having me.
Kevin, thanks for coming on. Byron, thanks for coming on from Atlantic City.
Atlantic City again.
And this was the Jersey Boys.